What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B-Mitch and Finley after a relatively relaxing weekend, man. No Commanders game on Sunday means B and I didn't log a 16-hour day yesterday. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
There was a ton of sports over the weekend. There was a lot to react to. I think we start with the Tyson-Paul fight. We got...
Let's not discuss that again.
60 million people watch that thing.
And let me just tell people this. I understand how much money was generated, but that was trash.
Trash.
Okay, I'm going to be totally honest with you. Mike can't fight no more, and Jake Paul ain't beating nobody that's a true professional right now that would be a young dude up and coming who has a name to prove. He would knock his ass out in the first round.
Or an old dude that's maybe on the downside of his career.
That whole charade there is, they should stop it. Because I will not look at no more of that trash. That was straight garbage, believe me. And if he couldn't knock out old-ass Mike Tyson, he ain't knocking nobody out. All those knockouts previously were fake. Let's just be real.
Yes. That dude is far more pro wrestling than boxing.
God, it was garbage, man. I was like, come on, dude. You'll never get this time back. That was garbage.
So the thing that made me laugh is Lanfield tweeted out, B-Mitch and JP are kicking off Dallas Week at 10 a.m., right? So I quote tweeted it, and I said, we're back, and let me tell you, B-Mitch loved that Tyson fight.
And no, somebody, I did not.
Somebody replied, oh, it was cool to see Tyson fighting against, but I didn't think it was worth the hype. And I just couldn't even let it go, and I was like, dude, I'm just kidding. B hated it. Everybody hated it.
Yeah, that was garbage, man. Look, and when you start, look,
his legs are shot.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
And people wanted to show respect, but that crowd truly wanted to boo the hell out of that whole deal, but they were being respectful to him.
It's just remarkable.
I'm like, what the hell is this?
This Jake Paul guy is like, I guess he's like the male equivalent of the Kardashians. Like what is 100%. That dude famous for? Like, I don't know. I don't know why I have this dude in my life. I want him out of my life. God bless him. I mean, when it comes to the fight game, it's all about promotion, and that dude can create a buzz. So
he can promote, but I just say this here. Don't get in the ring with somebody for real. That's all I'm going to say.
Jeff, our resident fight expert, what did you think of that matchup?
And Jeff couldn't have liked that.
Did you enjoy the clip when Mike Tyson was wearing that thong and that was on TV during his training session?
let me tell you.
He was wearing a thong, Lanfield, in case you missed it.
One, when I walk out the house and I walk back in, I just see Mike Tyson's butt cheeks on the TV.
Yep.
And I'm like, yo, what is going on here? Like, I didn't hear none of the interview. I just walked in, and he's walking away from the TV, and I'm like, yo, what is really going on here? Like, this is what we come to in the boxing world.
Is that how boxers warm up?
Hey, bro.
In thongs?
Listen, bro.
It was his guard, but like.
Everything they did to promote that fight.
That was wacky.
It missed the mark.
You know how they got the scary movie franchises?
Uh-huh.
How they make pay? That's what that match seemed like. But the fight before it was amazing.
The Lady
Taylor and the Amanda Serrano.
They talking about main event. The best fight that night were those ladies. They were banging. And I will say this. The judges are blind as hell, too. That was no... She was totally robbed. Talking about some... they just totally... Everybody voted for her? Hell no.
I think
that didn't happen.
And then I think the second most interesting fight was the People versus Netflix, because every 5 minutes, the screen kept buffering. I'm like, yo, was Netflix not prepared? Like, everyone wanted to see Mike Tyson. It wasn't even, to be honest, I think everybody.
Well, after they saw the real fight, they wish it would have kept buffering.
They're saying 60 million people watched it. 60 million.
And
you know why 60 million, right? You know why 60 million people watched it? Because they already had it. 60 million people wouldn't have paid for that. I promise you that.
Yeah.
At all.
Like, I have Netflix, so I watched it. But if I had to pay for that fight, I would have gone to, like, my boy's house. Or two, if it was like how
that Apple, wasn't good, bro. That's all I'm going to say. It was not good.
To get the MLS, like, you have Apple TV and then you got to pay again. Like, I would not have paid again. It was terrible. It was, probably some level of a sad indictment on our celebrity culture, but whatever. That was step one of the weekend in sports.
Yeah.
Step two, Brian, we're going to go through the entire NFL yesterday, but the headline, no more undefeated teams. KC goes down in Buffalo. Did you get to watch that
one?
Great game. Bills absolutely looked up to the challenge. They were very, very good. I thought Josh Allen was very, very good.
He played his butt off yesterday.
And, dude, at some point, listen, KC's still loaded. I think what Andy Reid has a history of doing is developing some offensive weapon that basically we're unaware of until like the week before Christmas, and then going into the playoffs, they have some dude that's dropping a buck 20 a game. But they lack weapons right now.
They do.
And the turnovers with Mahomes, it's easy to be dismissive because they're still winning games. But, he's on path for significantly higher in his career than he's ever thrown interceptions. And I don't know if that's a result of he's forcing it, the weapons aren't there, because he gets good protection. Like, by and large, he's clean in the pocket. It is weird, the level of down year he's having.
Yeah, it is. But like I said, man, if he ends up in the playoffs, that's a problem for people.
Sure.
And I think that's the ultimate thing. You watched last night in a game where they were awful, and they were still in that football game all the way to the end.
Jim Nantz was saying it even at the 2 minute when they were down two scores.
Yeah.
So your odds at the 2 minute down two scores are pretty damn low. And Nantz was like, never over till it's over with 15.
And that's the whole thing about it. Like, you basically watch a team have to play similar of a damn near perfect game, and they play horrible, and you get past them. They see you again, it's going to be a problem.
I don't know. Buffalo's defense, I thought, was really good. I feel like they run the ball really well. I like that combination of Davis and Cook. And it's just tough because Allen and Lamar have now entered into this twilight zone of, unless they beat Mahomes and win a Super Bowl, they're always going to be a tier below.
Yeah.
And it's a credit to Mahomes, obviously, and what KC has built. That game yesterday was really good. The kid Khalil Shakir was really good. I thought their run game. I loved the level of belief in his guys. A guy that coached you and Sean McDermott, 4th and 2 when you could have kicked and he went for it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Allen was able to house call it. I mean, that was pretty much the ball game. That made it two scores.
If you watched the games yesterday, I think a lot of times people were rushing for playing that 7 deep, trying to be some cloud coverages and playing man. And quarterbacks, once they broke the pocket, there was nobody there to stop them. You know what I mean? If you're going to rush four, you better have somebody to watch that damn quarterback who likes to run. And ultimately, but you're so right about Lamar and Josh. They don't win a Super Bowl. Who cares about the regular season? That's how it comes.
And that's where we've reached with those two.
Yeah, films. I've heard people this morning saying, oh, Buffalo's the team to beat. No. That team in damn Detroit, the team to beat still.
Dude.
I'm telling you. You can say what the hell you want. And people seem like they want to promote Buffalo so much. Detroit is the team to beat.
They dropped a 50-burger on Jacksonville yesterday. They look fantastic. The other game, we mentioned Lamar there. Ravens Steelers, straight rock fight, like just nothing sexy about that matchup at all. Russ Wilson tried to give it away, but the Pittsburgh defense wouldn't let him. That Steelers D is so good. Russ ends up going 23 of 36, 205. See, that's that uncomfortable zone. They don't want him throwing the ball that much, is the truth.
Uh-huh.
He threw a god awful pick, but Najee's able to get him. I mean, they just tried to grind that thing out. The more I watch of that,
damn moon ball works though, bro.
Jaylen Warren looks like the better back to me, but I can understand it needs to be in a kind of a committee. The Derrick Henry fumble early in that game,
that cost them right there.
Honestly, this whole thing was dictated by turnovers. Pittsburgh can't score. They get 6 field goals to win the game. Ravens turn the ball over 3 times. And this is a tough division game between two opponents that know each other well. And I'm not going to read too much into that because they'll play again. And In no way would I dismiss the Ravens because they lost to the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
No, the Steelers are good, man.
But B, you talked about Detroit, who just looks fantastic. KC's offensively struggling, but their defense has been really good. Buffalo delivers KC their first loss. The Bills are now 9-2, right on the Chiefs' heels, and they look really good. That D-line, they got just speed coming from everywhere on that Buffalo D-line. Now you got the Steelers up to 8-2. I don't know if you watched the Chargers last night, but that's a club with some fight in them.
They got some fight in them. I'm not
Herbert dialing it back and running a lot.
In a way, I think that they played well last night, but I don't put them on the same level as those other teams.
I'm not. Yeah. I think to me, Lions, Chiefs, Bills are clearly a tier above everything, and the Steelers and maybe the Eagles might be getting there.
Yeah.
But my question is, what about Baltimore? This is a team with four losses now, and two of them are to the Browns and the Raiders.
Yeah.
Like, they play down the competition. That's a thing.
Well, I'll say this. If you go with defenses that can really handle, that are very good, if their front four can compete with the Ravens' offensive line to where Derrick Henry is not going to be getting those free gaps, that's a different football team. And, yes, Lamar is good. Derrick Henry is good. But if you get a defensive line that can beat their offensive line, like I said, playing at the line of scrimmage, they are a different football team at that point.
For sure. It's going to be a fascinating stretch run here, right? Thanksgiving oddly comes late this year. I guess the calendar just works out that the last possible day Thanksgiving can be is this year, apparently. I don't know. I heard that on PFT's podcast, so maybe take that.
You guys stop that with a grain of salt. Stop repeating things.
I guess
you know factual.
I guess it's not the latest possible date, but you know how it's always the last Thursday in Thanksgiving?
In November.
Yes. What did I say? Thanksgiving?
He's saying Thanksgiving.
I guess it's almost the last day it could be. Whatever. Thanksgiving's late. But now the leaves are off the trees. Like, if you haven't raked yet, your yard looks like crap. Like, this is real football time. The teams have all played double-digit games.
Yeah.
We got a real idea who is what now. I think the Lions might be the team to beat, B.
The Lions are the team to beat. When you look at them offensively, defensively, special team, they are strong in all of them. And this is the thing, this is when you know a team is good. When you have guys that people are trying to take out the game, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Sure.
But he has a big game every damn week. That lets you know that they are a little step ahead of everybody else.
I mean, just listen to these numbers from the Detroit offense. Goff was 24 of 29 for 412 yards with four touchdowns.
And people don't like to give Jared Goff any credit. The dude is as good as anybody in the league.
I got a question for you then. Honestly, he never cracks this conversation. Should Goff be talked about as an MVP candidate?
Hell yeah. Yes. But
he never will because there's such a...
You know how it is,
Jay. There's just such like a man crush on Josh Allen across the league.
When people,
and Allen's really good, too.
Yeah, but when people come into the league with a certain mindset, it's hard to get away from that. Just like if you get a first rounder and you get a seventh rounder, the first rounder will always get top bill. The seventh rounder may outplay him, but he'll never get that same level. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's where Jared Goff and Josh are right now, where from Josh coming out of college, they were praising him in college. Then he gets here. And it's like they really, really want to see that Buffalo team get back to the prominence.
I think people root for the Bills because they've never won. And, I mean, let's be real. Yeah, Buffalo as a city kind of sucks. Yeah, you should root for Detroit, too. If you have a soft spot for the Bills because they've never won and it's the Rust Belt and blah, 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 you should have the same soft spot for Detroit.
Yeah.
We did sleep on one dude, though, in this conversation. Because, like, if you want to tell me Allen or Lamar or whatever, Goff – they're not winning the games, and at this point, it's getting harder and harder to see them as a playoff team. But Burrow's playing at an incredible level.
Well, I just
said Burrow's already over 3,000 passing yards and has 27 touchdowns.
Yeah,
dude, with six games to play.
But that's the thing about it though. He's at 3,000 yards, 27 touchdowns. You know why? Because he got to throw the ball all damn day.
Yeah,
and they're not winning football games. So I understand what the numbers state, but
maybe he gets offensive number one player thing is about of the year winning. Or something.
The number one thing is to win.
Well, and I think in MVP voting, to me, I would take winning into account. They have another award, NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Maybe that's for Joe B. You know, or even Ja'Marr Chase, frankly.
Yeah, but when you're behind in games, right. You throw the ball a lot more. So that stuff is skewed. So, yes, most of those quarterbacks, if they were behind and had to throw it all the time instead of having a running game, they could have those yards too.
If you look at Detroit, dude, just listen to the – so I gave you Goff's numbers, 400 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Montgomery went 15 for 75, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Jahmyr Gibbs on the ground, 11 for 69 with a touchdown. And then you go down to the receivers. So I think at this point, if you're game planning for Detroit, it starts with trying to stop Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Uh-huh.
11 catches for 160 with 2 touchdowns. And then Jameson Williams, fresh off the suspension, 4 catches for 124 yards and a touchdown.
That's almost 25 per.
Well, bro, and think about if Aiden Hutchinson wasn't hurt. They had the NFL's leading sack performer, and he broke his leg. Jacksonville's also a train wreck. I think we do the inverse version of this conversation where we're just going around the league. Nothing better than the boys talking ball. It's just simply the most fun, enjoyable thing in the world. I'd be remiss. We'd all be – it was awesome, one, just having a Sunday off. I know you enjoyed it. I got to hang with the kids. My wife made a lasagna. It was fantastic. But I also had the Caps game going. Granted, I had football on the big TV, but I had the Caps game on the up-top TV. What Alex Ovechkin is doing right now.
What did I tell you?
Dude, it's unbelievable, and it's just so fun to watch.
But you know what it is, Jay? We, as people that watch him, watch what he does, we all go, oh, man, the pressure's going to get to him. Ain't no pressure getting to him. What he's doing now is relaxing.
He looks like he's having fun.
And the other kid is helping him out, too, because, like, you know when everybody know where he's scoring from for the most part. But he's attacking and doing different things now. I think he's at the point where he wants to get that over with so he can just go play.
Sure.
And he seems to be trying to get there quicker than anybody would have thought. Everybody's, like, what, 17 games, 13 goals.
Dude, 17 games, 13 goals, but McMichael right behind him has 12 goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Caps tried something very difficult. Dylan Strome is playing outrageous. Protas is playing really well. Strome has 21 assists in 17 games.
Mm.
But the Caps are trying to pull off an inside straight, right? Like, they have an inside straight draw. Those are really difficult to do. They're trying to let Ovi, and even to a lesser extent, like Willie and some of their veteran players, stay good, keep chasing real playoff games that matter, and get young at the same time. Yeah. That's hard as hell to do. Seems like they're pulling it off.
But the old players that they have still have ability, still can play. They don't have old people going into on the ice like Mike Tyson right now. Okay? That's what they're not doing. So ultimately, those guys can still play. And when you bring that with youth, when you get some young players that can ball, the old guy that can still play begin to look younger.
And they get, like, invigorated by it.
Yeah.
You know, they get rejuvenated by it.
Totally.
Caps have played 17 games, have 25 points. They're one off the lead in the Metro Division. Now, the Hurricanes are one ahead of them, 17 games, 26 points. The Devils are ahead of them, but they've played 21 games. That's just such a huge disparity that I think trying to, like, line that up,
it'll work itself out.
But what Ovi's doing, man, we're actually going to talk to Joe B. Joe Beninati's going to join us at 11 to discuss the Cap success, Ovi's success. When we come back, anybody want to see Tommy DeVito on Thanksgiving? Nobody go anywhere.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. And always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
The City of Angels. Great tune right there, Landini. All right, let's have a conversation. Brian, a football decision was made in the Meadowlands.
Okay. And I saw it. It was breaking news.
The Giants, shockingly, are going to bench Daniel Jones.
And were you shocked?
No.
Okay.
He stinks.
That is true, Jay.
But there's a little bit more to it.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets hurt.
They owe him $29
million. Yeah.
And so when they mentioned that last week, and I think we discussed that, when they started talking about his injury settlement, I knew he was on his way to the bench.
You saw this happen last year in Denver.
Supposed to get hurt in practice, though. Doesn't make a difference where you get hurt.
Stop practicing him. I don't know. I mean, I imagine they'll just shut him down, right?
Shut him down, but so you got DeVito and the other kid there. So he
Drew Locke. Are you surprised they're going to DeVito?
No, because at least DeVito is a cult. Following,
right,
where they still would get people showing up. Drew Locke, when he starts to show how bad he is, they won't show up at all.
Correct. And guess what that means? While everybody's eating mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and turkey and vegetables and rolls and gravy, whatever it is you're into on Thanksgiving, the prime heart of the Thanksgiving day, what time? Assuming you're at home, what time do you and the family sit down for Thanksgiving?
Around 3-ish, 2-3-ish.
I feel like most of America.
Because I'm feeling good by that time, too.
Kind of eats between like 3 and 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Right? Like kind of that's the zone where you eat your dinner on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you know, Jay, after you said that, we're normally about 4, 4:30.
Okay, somewhere in there. It's not like a dinner because you kind of do an early afternoon and then maybe you make another plate late night.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I thrive. The heart of American Thanksgiving, Giants Cowboys, next Thursday, 4:30.
A stink fest.
The 2-8 Giants against the 3-6 Cowboys. Your quarterbacks for that game, assuming nothing changes between now and then, would be Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito.
Mm.
That
might be a better matchup than what we had prior.
That's a tough L.
I'll be honest with you.
I don't know who's showing. I'm guessing Fox. I don't know. But the three Thanksgiving games right now, Bears-Lions, which looks, at least that's the best team we'll see on Thanksgiving, is going to be the Lions. Mm. Then the Giants-Cowboys snooze fest. Help yourself to extra tryptophan. And then the night game is Dolphins-Packers. Dolphins all of a sudden showing something. They got Tua back. Like, when they're healthy, they're good. They just had too long of a stretch. Pack looked pretty good. Did you happen to see any or watch any highlights of Bears-Packers over the weekend?
No.
The Bears got to fire this coach. And I guess there's a long time thing in Chicago that they don't fire guys in season. They had the lead. They kind of dominated this thing. Got all the way down. What Eberflus does in late situational football is just really bad.
Mm-hmm.
They had a timeout, and rather than try to advance the football a little bit, they were willing to kick like a 48-yarder. And I guess the book on this kid, according to the Packers players after the game, the book on Bears kicker Cairo Santos is, it was kind of similar to Seibert, honestly, that he's really accurate, but the leg's not
super long.
Super long.
Yeah.
So when you have to go deep, it's going to come out low. And when it comes out low, you can block that thing.
Yeah.
Sure enough,
they
blocked it for a game winner.
Mm.
That's why I'm never, like, try to get more yards so the dude doesn't have to get it on that low trajectory. Bears are now 4-6. Caleb Williams did have a pretty good bounce back game. This was kind of a dog of a game, honestly. Jordan Love threw 17 passes. There wasn't a whole lot of action. The Packers' offense, it's almost astounding that they were able to put up 360 yards of offense. They only had 5 third downs.
Yeah.
Jordan Love hit a bunch of bombs, but not much else.
Kind of sound like another team that wear green, didn't have a lot of first down.
Yeah. Listen to this, B. To lose a game with this type of stat, the Bears had possessed the football in this game for 36 minutes.
Wow.
And lost 20-19.
But they they don't get in the end zone a lot.
Mm-mm.
So that's their problem right
now. They had a touchdown yesterday. DeAndre Swift broke one in on the ground, I believe, unless they had a defensive score, but I don't believe that's the case. So as this NFC playoff picture is kind of coming to fruition a bit, I mean, both sides, really. Obviously, there's a lot of football left. Let me ask you a series of questions, Brian.
Okay.
There's a lot of football left. There's six games left. Some teams have seven games left.
Mm-hmm.
Who's winning the AFC North? I can give you the exact standings if you want them.
Give them to me.
Steelers are 8-2. Ravens are 7-4. This is crazy. The Ravens have already played four division games. They're 2-2 in the division.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers, that was only their first division game. They're 1-0.
Okay.
And the Steelers now have a Thursday nighter division game in Cleveland. Take the points, Landfill.
Take the points.
Who's winning the AFC North? Steelers or Ravens? Or feel free to take the Bengals or the Browns.
Well, at this point, Steelers have the upper hand. They just beat them. They got to play the Steelers again, and they seem to have problems with the Steelers. This time it's going to be in Baltimore, though.
Yeah. The Steelers tend to have problems with the Browns.
You know what? I think it's a resurgence here because, listen, man, we all felt, why go away from Fields? And I say Russ has the experience. Russ is not putting up 300 yards, but Russ is hitting the right passes when he needs to. That moon ball, whatever the hell they want to call it, it's a fade route.
Yeah, I don't know if moon ball is the preferred nomenclature all of a sudden.
I think it's going to be a Steelers.
I kind of do, too.
You got coaching up there.
Yeah.
And now you have a guy who, if he can just turn back the clock, he's as good as any quarterback out there.
Well, we're going to do who's cooked in a minute, but there is also a factor in Baltimore that has not been a factor in a very, very long time. We'll get to that.
Because
I got another question for you. Who's winning the NFC West? I'll give you the standings. Arizona, 6-4.
Uh-huh.
The Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners are all 5-5. It looked like the Niners had one in the bag at home
and
yesterday.
They lost.
That game yesterday by Seattle felt really telling in a number of ways to me. But most importantly to me, I don't know that they will maintain the patience required. But Mike McDonald is a dude, and they've got something there if they're going to let him build. He's a young guy. That defense plays hard and smart.
But see, I keep hearing about how good San Fran is since Christian is back. And they still got other injuries there. I think they've dug a hole too big to come back.
It's only a game, though.
Yeah, I understand, but still. You got teams that you're going to be playing that you let slip by on a win.
Here's what's kind of remarkable for the Niners. So they're 5-5, but in the division, they're 1-3. And when the jumble is that jumbled, the division record's going to probably make a tiebreaker.
It's going to matter.
And the Cardinals, who nobody talks about, myself included, are now 6-4. Mm-hmm. And I think they are 3-0 they're 2-0 in the division. So that's just like a big advantage for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm going either the Cardinals or the Seahawks. It's gonna be a bird.
I like that. We're taking the bird. The Rams, I think, are in it. They're all right there, but that's a weird, jumbled up division, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at one other result from yesterday, I thought you might enjoy if I pointed this out, Brian. The Jets lost at home to the Indianapolis Colts.
And they got their first down came like damn near second quarter, late second quarter, early third quarter.
The Jets are now 3-8.
And they blame everybody but A-Rod.
I saw some A-Rod commentary after the game. You'll be shocked to know he's not necessarily blaming himself.
Oh, no. It can't be his fault. He has nothing to do with the fact that his offense can't really consistently score. None of that. Nothing to do with it.
I gave out a winner that, sadly, I don't think a sports book is actually taking this bet. But when the Jets season concludes in early January, I've guaranteed this for months, there's no chance Aaron Rodgers is on that field. And I would venture so far that he won't even be in the stadium. Like, this dude is going to check out. They play the Miami Dolphins Sunday, January 5th at the Meadowlands at 1 o'clock. A-Rod will not be there. I promise you this. He was asked yesterday after the loss to Anthony Richardson, by the way, who actually looked pretty good. But
he seems to have gotten the message.
He was asked.
He won't check himself out another game, I promise you that.
What a joke that was. A-Rod, how he's going to find the motivation for the rest of the season. I'm in my 20th year, so I've figured out a way to do this for a long time, so you just got to remember why you fell in love with this game. This will definitely be a week to clear all of our heads and come back and stick together. If you...
He didn't answer the question.
Well, reading that versus watching him say it looked wildly different, man.
Mm.
He looked like a dude that his Q-U-I-T quit. We shall see. Joe B. joins us at 11. Up next, who's cooked?
Hey, it's Brian Mitch here. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's game. All right, we're going to tune into the Monday Night Football game tonight, and it's going to be the Battle of Texas. We got the Texans taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Anytime touchdown, CeeDee Lamb. All right, over rushing yards, we'll go with Joe Mixon, who has 655 yards, and he has 7 touchdowns so far. Over passing yards, C.J. Stroud. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel, sportsbook with official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Pete Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Let's check in on the stream. You can find it. Just Google the stream. Does anybody know who was first this morning?
Jeff? Don't know.
Jeff, did someone pay you?
The Panthers play the Chiefs at 1 o'clock in Carolina this week.
It's just weird to practice on a Monday. That's all I'm
Not
saying.
Necessarily. Some people practice on Mondays.
I guess maybe they're coming off a bye. Commander Tequila first. Good morning, Commander. Thanks for joining us.
How much paid Jeff this time?
Yeah, how much paid Jeff this time? There's a whole bunch of people in the chat. Good morning to all. Brian, for the first time in a very long time, I think the Ravens have a bit of a problem.
Hmm.
Justin Tucker,
That is a problem.
For so long,
automatic.
It was, yo, we can rely on this dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And now...
But, you know, they go through those stretches sometimes. Just like a golfer with his yips on a putting, they do it, but most times they can get over it. But this has lasted longer than I thought. Because, listen, most people don't care about kickers. I like to see Justin Tucker kick. Because the dude, he kicks it high, he kicks it long. Now he's just completely off.
So... Tucker is about to turn 36, literally in like 2 days,
mm-hmm.
which is hardly a death knell. I'm not suggesting that. But 2021 was Tucker's best statistical season ever. He made one from 66. He made 94% of his kicks that year.
Mm.
He was 6-6 from 50, 13-15 from 40 to 50. I mean, just hitting everything in sight, right? Made 100% of his extra points, 32-32. In the 4 years since, his numbers have dropped fairly significantly. He went from 95 to 86 to 86. Right now, he's making 73% of his kicks, B.
Mm.
73. 16 of 22. He's only 3 of 7 from 50, 4 of 6 from 40 to 50. He's made the shorter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's missed an extra point. But all of a sudden, that cloak of invincibility surrounding Tucker is gone.
Yeah, you're right.
How does that impact Baltimore?
Well, I think ultimately, if you're a team that can't score, then that kicker becomes even more vital. But if they are running the ball like they can, and Lamar has been throwing it as he's been doing throughout, it'll be good. But when you get down the stretch, when it gets a little colder, a little windier,
ball gets harder.
Yeah, things don't happen. And they used to feel good going for 50-something yarders with Tucker. Now they may not be able to. They may have to go for some fourth downs and put more stress on them.
Totally. So when I ask the simple question, is Justin Tucker cooked? What is your answer?
I don't think he's cooked.
Okay. What about the Cincinnati Bengals? Did you watch that game last night?
Yep.
So, dude, I watched, and I just wanted to get a good night's sleep. And when they tied it up, I was texting my boy Weaver, who's a big Bengals fan. You know my buddy Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, this is what they do. He actually called it beforehand. When they cut it to a single touchdown, he's like, watch, the defense is going to get a turnover. They'll tie it up and then lose. So the defense got the turnover. They tied it up. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to bed. Like, Bengals Chargers is not going to impact my life. Sleeping an extra 45 minutes will. And I went to sleep. And sure enough, I think Harbaugh is just a significantly better coach than Zach Taylor. And I think Harbaugh has that LA Chargers team just playing super hard. And they've got enough talent and enough key spots. The Bengals are now 4-7, Brian. And at some point, we got to kind of stop believing that this run is coming.
Oh, I haven't been believing that.
Brian, simple question. Bengals are 4-7.
Cooked.
The 7 seed in the AFC is Denver at 6-5. Are the Bengals cooked?
Cooked. I'm going to tell you why. When you basically toy with your top-notch players and make them go through so much BS, that thing called karma comes back. And the Cincinnati Bengals has done this for years. And
cheap.
Like, you watch how
cheap
it is.
Organization.
Like, Chase, he plays, doesn't seem very happy. You know what I mean? Because they toy with him. Higgins has come back and playing some terrific ball. But I think overall, that team doesn't play together like a team that's glued to me.
So much has been made about Chase, and that is, to be crystal clear, nothing but just cheap ownership. Because the framework of that deal is set with Jefferson. You just need to go 3% higher, and he would have signed it. Now you've poisoned the well and made it toxic with the player. They've lost so much on the defensive side of the football there mm-hmm. because they wouldn't pay guys. And it's not all about salary cap. You can make the numbers work. They run a cheap organization. They have the least scouts in the NFL. It just sucks because you've truly got an all-time talent between Burrow and Chase. When those two got together and they got to that Super Bowl and then when they've both been healthy, it's Montana to Rice. Like, those guys are so good and so good together and have such an intrinsic understanding of each other's game. And to just barf it away is just kind of sad to me. You're 4-7. I don't know how you keep that. I don't know what you do there, but it just sucks. I got no beef with Cincinnati. It's a good little sports town.
Yep.
They got banging steaks. Jack Ruby's, shout out.
But as it
Jeff
goes
Ruby,
on, Jay,
I think.
Like, you, even though they've had Joe play some good games, that stuff becomes old as the season goes on.
I know.
People stop being as excited to go to practice.
Landfill, are the Bengals cooked?
Yep.
Landfill, is Daniel Jones' time as a QB1 in the league cooked?
I mean, yes, it should be. He'll be a backup somewhere.
It might be burnt. Like,
somebody will get
overdue.
Injured, and he'll play again. But, yeah, he should never – nobody should ever go into a season thinking, that's our guy.
I'm not saying he's done, and I'm not saying he won't start again. But, like, going into the season with his face on the cover of the program, those days are over. Giants got to start over. Wherever Danny Dimes ends up is going to be – what could you see for him? Like, kind of what Darnold's getting in Minnesota is the best possible
– yeah, he may get an opportunity somewhere else. I just think that I'm still stuck on Joe Shane. Because you say we're going to stick with this guy. We're going to get rid of that guy. And now – that guy is balling for another team. Your running back not playing close to what he's playing. And you now have to bench this quarterback. You think the owner is sitting there saying, I got the right person running my franchise? Doubt it, seriously.
Well, and dude, now, so if you look at Tankathon of the teams looking to be at the top of the draft board, Jags, Titans, Browns, Raiders, Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of good quarterbacks around. and a lot of those guys have paid a lot. That's a mess. Godspeed. Can't say this that often. It's nice to be a Washington Commander. When we come back, Joe B., it's nice to be a Washington Capitol. Ovi's on fire. Nobody go anywhere.